Exodus chapter 14, we're continuing our series on gospel pictures and ancient frames. We know, I think many of us are familiar with these stories, perhaps we were taught them as a child, but we realize that in the scriptures we can look at things many times and don't see their full meaning, and we want to understand that there is much in here. It isn't just kind of a good story that we learn about, that there are spiritual applications that we can make to our lives that can be a blessing to us. We looked at how that the children of Israel cried to the Lord provided them a deliverer, and how it speaks of how even people today cry for a deliverer, and that deliverer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the Passover, of that the shed blood of the spotless lamb had to be applied to the doorpost, and when the Lord saw the blood, he would pass over them and not destroy them. And we understand that Jesus Christ was a spotless lamb of God. His blood was shed for us, and that we must apply it to our lives by faith so that we can be saved from the bondage of sin. So now we see that the children of Israel are being, they've been delivered. They're on their way out of bondage, out of Egypt, on their way to the promised land. And the Lord has been with them. And so let's read Exodus chapter 14, and beginning in verse 1, we'll read the entire chapter. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahararoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Ziphon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pahararoth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this recording of this event in history where You miraculously intervened on behalf of Your people. Lord, we pray that You would help us to understand what You would teach us from it this morning, Lord, of Your grace, Your mercy to us, Your protection as we travel on our journey, Lord, from bondage into the blessings that You want to give unto us as Your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that they were on their way out of Egypt. They come forth on their way to the promised land. The Lord had brought them out with a strong hand. We find that He was there to guide them, that He gave them His presence with them. He gave them this pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night it was a pillar of fire so that they could guide them day and night, that it was always with them, it did not go away from them, and they could just follow it. It's so simple that He just kind of led them by the hand, that they didn't have to ask for directions or anything like that. They just follow the cloud, follow the pillar, and they would go where God would bring them, and He would be with them. And we see that He was leading them a certain way according to His wisdom. That we see in Exodus 13 and verse 17, that God, it says, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And we understand that in some ways, if they were to go to the promised land, it would be easier for them, quicker in some ways, to go up along the coast, the way of the Philistines. But the Lord said, no, that's not the way that I want them to go. I'm going to lead them through this wilderness, this place that's more difficult. But it's going to be for their best. It's going to be for their good. And so He's led them to this place. And when we understand the description of where it was, we actually find that the Lord was leading them. And this cloud comes and brings them, and it brings them right to the sea. And on either side, they're essentially in a box canyon, that there's cliffs on either side. And so in some ways, they would have looked at it and thought, well, boy, something went wrong. Something happened. And we actually see that they said to Moses that he'd led them wrong. And you can think with Moses that he would have just said, well, I just follow in the cloud just like the rest of you. I'm not sure what's going on. But we see that the Lord had led them this way. And the Lord is speaking to Moses. And He says, well, I've done this for a reason. Pharaoh will think that you're entangled in the land, you're lost, and he's going to pursue after you. And I'm going to glorify myself amongst them, that all the Egyptians would know that he was the one true God. And so he brings them along, and the Egyptians are in pursuit after them. And the people, they were told to encamp next to the sea, and not sure what was going on, but they were resting, they thought they were safe, but then they look and they see this cloud coming towards them. They see the army of Pharaoh coming near unto them. These ones whom they feared for so long, who had kept them under bondage for so many years, that they are coming to take them back. And you think of it, just their thoughts, that all that had happened, this deliverance, that they thought, well, it was just too good to be true. We thought we were free, but we're going to be brought back into bondage. And they thought, well, it wasn't worth it, that they are going to be enslaved again. The forces that bound them were too strong. And they were afraid of being destroyed. They thought, well, it'd be better to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And just the thought of it, that with all that they had gone through, all the heartache, all the fierce scourging that they had received at the hands of the Egyptians, how even with their own children that they were taken from them and slain, so that they would not be strong as a people, that their thinking was wrong, that they thought, well, we would have been better off if we would have stayed in that way. And we actually see that throughout their wandering in the wilderness, that they always kind of got back to thinking, well, we were better off in Egypt. And I think if Moses kind of had the benefits of hindsight ahead of time, that he would have saved some of the chains from Egypt and brought them with him, and just kind of said, do you guys remember these? Remember that you were slaves? And because they thought, oh, it was so much better there. But the fact is that they were in bondage. And so they're going. The cloud is leading them to the sea. They're getting scared. They're panicking. But Moses speaks to them. And he says to the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That it was not a time for fear. It was a time for faith. It was not a time for panic. It was a time to remain calm and have a calm assurance in the Lord, that He had led them this way. He did not make a mistake. He was going to do something wonderful in front of them. They are at a point of utter helplessness, but it was the Lord brought them to that point so that they could see Him work in a way they never thought possible, a way far beyond their imagination or expectation. And so we see that of how the Lord works, that the Lord would fight for them and that they should hold their peace, that they are all panicking, they're all trying to think, well, where should we run, where should we go? And of course, there was no place for them to run. And we see the cloud was still leading them forward. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the children to step forward. And so you can just imagine that they're told, well, keep going forward, and they're going forward straight for the sea, and it doesn't make any sense. But then the pillar of cloud that's in front of them goes behind them and divides them from the Egyptians to give a separation for them. And then Moses spreads his hand, his rod over the sea, and the seas part. And there's this way made through the sea. And you can think of it that as they looked upon the Red Sea, that we're not sure exactly at what point they crossed, but we understand that it would have been quite a long ways. They might not even have been able to see the other side. It might have been of that distance. But yet this way has been given, and that they are traveling through during the night, and they're making it through on dry land, that the walls of water on either side, and the pillar of fire is behind them, lighting their way, that they have its shadow cast in front of them, and they're making it their way to safety. And you can just imagine as they were all afraid, all struggling, all probably saying all these different things of against Moses and questioning God, that when this happened, that it would have probably stopped them in their tracks for a moment, and the Lord would have to tell Moses to have them go again, that they'd have to all pick their jaws up off the ground so that they could proceed. That God was giving them this deliverance in a way that they never thought possible. And we see that they got them to the other side. The enemies pursued, but they could not overtake them. And we see that as the morning came, the Lord looked upon the Egyptians. And as they were going as quickly as they could, that they were behind, but they had chariots. They were gaining ground. But the Lord just stepped in and just took their chariot wheels right off. And so all of them were there, that they recognized the Lord is fighting for them against us. We have to run for our lives. And you can just imagine that the Lord hardened their hearts so that they would go in. If they would have You'd think for themselves that they would have thought, well, the Lord's fighting for Israel, I better stay away from this. But no, they entered in, and I think the Lord let them go far enough so that there'd be no way that they could get back in time. And the Lord told Moses to stretch his hand back over the sea, and the waters came again and drowned the Egyptians, and there was none left of them at all. The people looked at this before this event, that things were hopeless, that they're going back into bondage, that there was no hope, and that all that they had done, all that they had experienced so far was a waste, that things have totally changed, that life that they had before is gone forever. There's nothing that's going to pull them back again, and they are free, and they are on their way to the promised land. And so we see this, and we enjoy the story. It's something I think even as adults we do not tire of it. But we want to see, well, what is the Lord trying to show us through this? What is the spiritual application that we make? We've seen already that there's many things where, even though it's a specific historical event, that the Lord ordered the events to happen in a certain way to give a certain picture. And we understand as well with the children of Israel that so much with them is, we look at them and we wonder, well, why did they do this? But we look at and we see that they in many ways are a reflection of us, of our own hearts, of our own thinking. And so we want to understand, if we were to try to equate things in different ways, we could look at Egypt, that it represents this present evil world, this place of bondage, through which God, through the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, has delivered us from. That was our old life we had before we were saved, before we came to salvation. And you can think of the children of Israel, that they have been in bondage for so long, and now they are free, that it is like they are newborn believers, that they're learning to walk by faith and not by sight. And they're on their way to the promised land, a place of blessing, a place of abundant life, that Jesus speaks, that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so you think of it as a new Christian, someone starting out, that the Lord has done so much for them, there's so much hope. But we see so often what happens, that the pull of the world can be strong on a young believer, that they're delivered from its hold and its power, but it seems that it wants to pull them back. And we think of that sometimes as a new believer, much like the Israelites, there's a thought, well, now that I'm saved, everything's just going to be just rosy and wonderful, and I'm not going to have any more problems ever again. But of course, as soon as a problem comes, that whole thinking is brought into question. And we realize that it's not the way it is. We understand that when someone passes from death into life, when someone makes that decision and becomes a believer in Christ Jesus, that they have changed sides, that the devil is angry. The devil wants to destroy that young believer. Even though they are a newborn babe, the Lord wants to make them stillborn in their Christianity, that there's no growth, that they are offended, they give up, and they don't proceed any further. And we think of that it speaks in Matthew chapter 13. The Lord gives the parable of the sower and the seed and the soils. And He speaks of those, the seed that was cast into the stony places in which the birds came and the stony places, they had not much earth, and they sprung up, and they had no deepest of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and they had no root, they withered away. It speaks, Matthew 13 and verse 20, it says, He that received the seed in a stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, by and by he is offended. And we see that this fits very much the state of mind of the children of Israel, that difficulties came and they were thrown into discouragement. They were thrown into fear. And we can see that with a young Christian that's learning, that's struggling, that there's a fear of being enveloped again in those same sins which had so long enslaved them for so many years. And we can find that. I've known a few different people where they get saved and things are going good, but then they get a bit of discouragement, and because they've been in a life of addiction, that and that addiction was kind of what they looked to kind of help them through their difficulties, that soon they find themselves, even though they're a Christian, that they're back in it, and they're so discouraged, and they think, well, how could this happen? There's no point. And they tend to have a thought that they're just going to give up on God. It wasn't worth it. And maybe with a young Christian, sometimes we have fear of losing our salvation. Well, we think, well, maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe what Jesus did wasn't enough for me. That somehow I'm going to mess it up. It's going to all be brought back again. I'm going to be right back where I started. And so we think of that as a new babe, of how that's the mindset that we can get into if we're not careful. But when we're in such a situation, whether a young Christian or an older Christian, we recognize the time is not for fear, but for faith. Not for panic, but for calm. Where we see what Moses said, where it says, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today." That we understand, as we look at this passage and draw application, that the Lord hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't sort of sent us off somewhere and then just kind of allowed us to get to a dead end in life and left us on our own to be destroyed. That He is actually right there with us. He has led us to that place. And it's for a reason. He wants to teach us something. He wants to strengthen our faith. That we are to walk not by sight, but by faith. And so He's putting us in a situation where there's no hope in anything around them. That there's no place to look but up. And when we do that, we find that He has the answer for us. And we want to recognize that God leads us. Any situation we find us in, that He leads us there for a reason. He wants us to trust Him. And He wants to manifest His power in our lives. That we get in a situation when we can't do anything, it becomes so frustrating, it makes us feel so weak, but the whole point is so that we would look to Him for His strength, so we would realize, Lord, I need You to help me in this. I can't handle this on my own. And so often we think we have to struggle alone. We don't see there's no hope, but instead of panicking, instead of rushing about and making mistake after mistake, instead that we learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we're going through Habakkuk chapter 2. In the end of chapter 2 it says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him." That we so often we get afraid, we speak out to the Lord, we wonder what He's going to do, but we need to trust Him. It speaks in Psalm 131 of this principle. Psalm 131 says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." And that's the thing, that you think of a babe. I know with Kirsten how it is. If something's not right, that she'll cry, and I can sometimes try to cheer up, and it usually, it, but it depends when depending what it is that she wants so often to nurse, that there's comfort in that, and so when things aren't quite right, that a babe cries out. But it's the idea is when they come to maturity, that when they're able to look after themselves, if they have a need, they don't cry out for their parents to do it, that they're able to meet their needs themselves, that they are able to still themselves. And that's the thought as a new Christian, that We can have that thing where anything happens and we panic and we cry out to the Lord, we question Him, we doubt Him, where instead the Lord wants us to just be calm and just trust, well, the Lord's going to help me through this. I can trust my Heavenly Father. He hasn't abandoned me. He knows what He's doing, and He's going to see me through this. And that's what we need to recognize, that He is with us, that we're to be still and know that He is God. It speaks in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." That's where we find it, that when we are still, when we trust in the Lord for Him to bring deliverance to our lives, that's where our strength lies. When we panic, when we don't trust Him, when we try to fix it our own way, usually we just make it worse. And we want to see that the Lord has a plan, and we see that He wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. He wants to give us victory. That He has brought us to a place, it might be of hopelessness, but it's because He wants to do something that we never imagined could be possible. He wants to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. That He is not limited by the things of this world. We want to understand that the same deliverance that He can give us from the penalty of sin, from the curse of death that is brought upon because of our sins, that He can provide the same deliverance to each day, to whatever trial we face, whatever struggle we have, whatever power sin might have in our life, that we see in Romans chapter 6 of how we were servants to sin, but now we've been made dead unto sin. We're alive unto God. We can become servants unto righteousness. It doesn't have to have us in bondage anymore. We can be free. That we can look at that when just as we look to God for our salvation, our deliverance, when we first trusted in Christ, that day by day that we look to Him. We say, "Oh Lord, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to let You work. I'm going to see what You're going to do." And when we do that, it's amazing what the Lord does, how things change, of how sometimes a young Christian can have someone come in their life, an old friend that seems to just pull them back into the world, but then the Lord can, for whatever reason, whatever way, that suddenly that person has to go somewhere else, and that they're not part of that person's life anymore, and that they can continue on. That the Lord can work, and He delights in doing so. That He can bring this separation, this victory, that we don't have to be afraid anymore. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." And so that is what we as Christians need to do, that we need to get into the mindset, the habit of thinking that when difficulties come, that we do not panic, we do not speak against the Lord. We may have questions, but we go to Him and seek the answers humbly and trust Him. That we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, that the Lord wants to give deliverance to us each day from sin, from trials, so that we can see His hand, so that He can be glorified in us, and that we can praise Him as the children of Israel did when they saw His deliverance on their behalf. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word, for the great things that You have done for Your people in the past, the great things that You have done for us, and the great things that You will do for us in the future. We just pray, Lord, You would help us to quiet ourselves, to trust You more fully, that, Lord, if different situations, that we would not panic, but that we would be still and allow you to work, that we would see your salvation, Lord, your deliverance in our daily lives from the things that so easily beset us. Lord, we just pray you would help us, and that we would see your hand work mightily on our behalf. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand once more. We'll turn to hymn number 262 and sing Trusting Jesus, hymn 262.